This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. You can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See McDonald's.com.
Hear that? That's the sound of a patient whose health data is protected from a cyber attack. And that... that's the sound of a financial system that's digitally secured from bad actors. Right now, there's an invisible war being fought on a digital battlefield that impacts what we do every day. That's why at Peraton, we do the can't be done to help protect the vital systems we rely on. Because if we don't, the alternative is unimaginable. Peraton.
The share it with a friend deal. Even if that friend is yourself. Your McDonald's. Your rules.
Live your best morning with BOGO breakfast sandwiches only on the McDonald's app. Now buy one bacon, egg, and cheese McGriddles or sausage, egg, and cheese McGriddles and get a second one free. Valid for item of equal or lesser value. Limited time only at participating McDonald's. Valid one per day. Excludes $1 to $3 menu. Visit McDonald's app for details. Download and registration required. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Welcome back to Cottage Talk Full Time. I'm Russ Goldman. Joining me right now is Emilio Danilo. This is our initial reaction show to Fulham's 1-0 loss to Chelsea at Craven Cottage. A disappointing loss. There's a lot to talk about in an initial reaction show, Emilio. We could really do a full post-match show right now because there are a lot of things to talk about. Just let's get right to it. Give me your initial reaction to this loss.
It never easy when you lose. No, obviously, quite clearly, we haven't lost a league game for a while now. But it's no disgrace to lose 1-0 at home to Chelsea. I think at the beginning of the season, you know, these are games that you'd expect to lose anyway. But you know, we've been playing better. You know, Chelsea only managed to get one goal in playing against 10 men for what 50 odd minutes of the game. That says a lot about the lack of quality of the Chelsea team. I honestly thought there was something in it for us before the game started. I honestly thought
so did I.
Not particularly impressive. They've been struggling of late, and they were there for the taking. But to be honest, I think we were on the back foot for most of the game. Let's be very honest. Be very frank. You know, it was from the first minute we were literally on the back foot. We had a few moments here and there. We had a couple 5-minute spells in the first half. You know, but it's you know, if you don't take your chances, I keep saying time and time again, you know, you're going to get a few chances at this level. And if you don't take them, you're going to get punished. And you know, Cavallero's gilt edge opportunity, you know, blazes it over. Five minutes later, Robinson gets sent off.
Yep. That's
the fine margins we work with in the Premier
League. Right.
The Premier League doesn't take any prisoners. So we lost a game, but I keep saying time and time again, let's not judge this defeat for the rest of the season. Let's look at the games that we are able to beat. There's enough games in this division, home and away, that we can grab wins and stay in this division.
Totally agree, Emilio. And I'm glad that you're starting there, because when you look at this, everyone has a right to be upset. Everyone has a right to be angry about how this match played out. And I look back at this, and if I'm being honest, like you said, Chelsea were the better team from the beginning to the end. But that does not mean that Fulham didn't compete. And honestly, if Anthony Robinson doesn't get sent off, I think this is a different match. We'll never know.
We'll never know, yeah.
We will never know. But Fulham really started to show themselves in these spurts in the first half, like you were saying to me off air, that they were very dangerous on the counterattack. And I really believe that they were going to have more opportunities at full strength. But obviously, Anthony Robinson gets sent off, and the match.
We rode our luck as well. Mount hit the crossbar. They were guilty for not taking their chance or doing better with their opportunity. So we huffed and puffed in that first half, and other than 2 5-minute spells when we sort of got into the game. So the best team won by far, when it was 11-11. Let's be frank. When it was 11-11, Chelsea were the better team. They defended well. Every time we had a sort of half chance, we were getting forwards. They gave us very little room. And, but with that one chance that we did get, we didn't take it. And that's a deep-rooted problem within the club. We haven't got enough quality up front. And we've said that time and time again. So I don't want to keep going on about this. It's old news. We all know about that. But it's those fine margins. You don't take your chances. And then Robinson, I'm going to call out I'm furious with that reckless. What the hell is he doing there, for goodness sake?
Yeah, we're going to talk about that.
But that red card's been coming for some time from Robinson. He's had a few reckless challenges this season, and he's had several yellow cards because of poor decision making and poor fouling. So that, what the hell is he doing there? It's a red card, no question about it.
Yep.
He's let the side down today. Yes, we struggled throughout the whole game, 11 against 11, but. You do that in the attacking half, not even in his own half defending. That's poor decision making and reckless. So Robinson, you let the side down today, I'm afraid.
I think he's been really good the entire season, but as you said, you could see this coming, and this was something that again was a huge mistake and changed the game. And I'm going to share this comment. I want to get your thoughts on this. Does this sum it up, Emilio? This is from Stefan. We lost the game because we have no striker, and a schoolboy's mistake cost us the game.
I think obviously we lost for some various reasons. We know we haven't got a striker, to be honest. I think we had one chance today, really, to be honest, and we didn't take it. So if Mitrovic was there, would he have taken that? Possibly. He might have done better. He might have made the keeper make a save.
Yep.
But it's little things, it's lack of depth in the squad. That's a known problem. We keep going on about it time and time again.
Yep.
Arioli, he would put his hand up, should have done better. Let's be frank, he should have done better. I think Parker should have made substitutions sooner.
Yep.
0-0 when the players were tired, like Caballero couldn't barely walk, let alone run. So that's another reason why we maybe could have got something out of the game or held on for another 20 minutes. It's various reasons, to be honest. But, let's not judge the team on losing 1-0 to Chelsea. Judge the team if you lose against Brighton and West Brom and then our cards are marked. That's when we need to be judges. But there's a lot of heart, there's a lot of courage. I'm proud of the team for fighting. But
I am too.
We come away pointless. That's the thing. So the likes of Steve Lydiard keep going on about, we're going to, we need to get points on the ball. We need to win. I agree with that. But despite huffing and puffing and defending well and playing admirably, we came away pointless. So that's disappointing. But it's Chelsea we're playing here, not West Brom. So let's put it into context.
That's right. Very good point there, Emilio. And let's talk about this because we're talking about moments.
Hold on a second, Ross. So Jim Shepherd, Robinson is learning. Give him a break. No, I disagree. You don't make a foul like that, whether you're learning or not learning. That's that's reckless. Poor decision making, as far as I'm concerned. And I've been a big advocate of Robinson this season. So, but Wednesday night he struggled against Tottenham at times, and today you just don't do that, whether you're experienced or not experienced. So he'll learn from that. Joe Bryan will now cover for him, and Robinson will need to earn his right to be back in the team now.
Well, again, that's a moment, like you said, we're going to talk about it, that changed the match. And again, we don't know what would happen if it was 11 versus 11, if that didn't happen. But I felt Fulham were growing into the game, especially at the end of the half, Emilio. So for that to happen was extremely unfortunate, but it was a straight red. I think we both agree.
Yeah,
that was a straight red. I don't think we can argue about that. But let's go back right before that, only about 3 or 4 minutes before that. We have to talk about the one chance. You've already talked a little bit about this. And when I saw this, I put my head down when Caballero missed this because it was all set up for him. It really was. There was some great passing from actually Anthony Robinson and Tete. And then you have this bad miss, really bad miss. He needs to score, not get the – ball, you know, not just get it on target. He needs to score.
Yeah, exactly. And now this is I'm not blaming obviously Cavallero didn't take his chance, and the Premier League, I've said it before, it's going to punish you if you don't take your chances. And is it Cavallero's fault that he's playing up front, or is it Fulham's fault that we haven't invested in a striker? Who's I'm being honest with you.
It's a valid point.
So the fact that he's missed badly, yes, we all acknowledge that he should have done better. But his general body language, his composure, it just lacked composure there completely.
He doesn't have the confidence of a striker.
He's not a striker, but he's been classified as a makeshift striker, whatever you want to call it. But it's not his fault that he's been asked to play in a role that's not his comfort zone. And therefore, that's more the club's fault. They haven't invested enough quality up front. And, you know, we're having to put other players like the likes of Bobby Decador in the region, Cavallero, to make up for the lack of striker options. But, you know, that's the issue. You don't take your chances, the few that you get punished. Robinson then makes a stupid challenge.
Yep.
Theoretically, game over. But like I said, we hung on for a while. But a goal was threatening time and time again, as you'd expect it. But Chelsea were poor today overall. If I was a Chelsea supporter, I'd be very disappointed with that performance today.
Right. And I understand what you're saying on that. But I think in another way, Emilio, because I can see both sides of that, you're right. Ooh. They were poor. But there's a reason why they were poor. I think Fulham made them look poor at times. So I understand what you're saying, but it's a give and take here. It's you know, you have to look at both sides of the coin, and I think Fulham defended well in the second half. Yes, it was coming. Yes, like you said, and we'll talk about the goal coming up, but I want to give the team a little bit more credit in the second half, because especially in the second half, I thought overall – The thing I got out of it is that they really played as a team, as we've been talking about. I can still see the progression. Yeah. But like we're talking about, there are issues that they need to work out. And there are these fine margins, and Anthony Robinson can't be doing what he did.
Yeah. The irony was, I thought we defended better in the second half than we did in the first.
Yeah.
The first half, we were clearances in the penalty in the six-yard box were not decisive. We were heading weakly. Robinson's header straight onto Mason Mount, and Mount hit the crossbar. Again, poor defensive header from Robinson in the first half. So I thought we defended better with 10 men than we did with 11. I'll be honest with you. We looked very uncertain in the first half. We weren't clearing our lines particularly well. We rode our luck a little bit. And I thought second half was a more accomplished performance defensive than the first.
Okay, very good. All right, let's go to the second half, and I want to get your second half analysis as the second half begins, Emilio. Fulham are down to 10 men, and they really weathered the storm, and like you said, they were weathering it for a while, and I thought they were hanging in there. But then, of course, you get the goal from Mason Mount. Let's go right to the goal, and give me your thoughts on this goal. And now, again, it was in the 78th minute, so they hung on for a long time.
Yeah, they did.
And let's talk about this. Could Areola have done better? You've already mentioned it, so let's talk about it a little bit. And as you mentioned already, you saw this coming.
Yeah, it's they brought in Hudson-Odoi as well to add more attacking strength. I thought
Tammy Abraham.
Yeah. All we could do was really hang on. But for me, the likes of Cavallero, like I said, could barely walk. You know, take him off. Put maybe something. I think Steve Reynolds will say maybe put Lookman, to be in the attacking role and just preserve some energy and put some fresh legs on. But I think we left the substitution a bit too late for me. And I think if we actually had fresher legs on the pitch, maybe we wouldn't have given up that goal. We would have cleared the lines better. We would have had more defensive cover for the likes of fresher legs coming in and doing a job defensively. So we had the opportunity to change. Park, maybe I'm going to put a little criticism on Park. He's not adverse to having criticism. He's done really well the last 2 months, but I thought maybe he was a bit slow making those changes. I think you make the changes when you're a goal down. It's, to be honest, a bit too late then. I think
they were, some of the players were running out of steam.
Yeah, they were. They had no gas left, and their legs were jelly, as some of the commentators were saying. And at the end of the day, there were options on the bench. I think we said before the game, the worry for me, there was no game changes on that bench. So even if it was 11 against 11, the bench wasn't good enough today.
No, it wasn't.
That's a problem. This goes back about the deep-rooted problems. The squad, if there's injuries, people recovering from COVID, there's not enough depth there. Kearney's still injured. Mitrovic, we saw, picked up a knock against QPR a week ago. Lamine, I'm assuming, still recovering from COVID.
Yep.
Where's the depth? The likes of Onoma, Cabano, they're okay players, but they're not game changers in the Premier League.
No, and when you looked at the bench, and I said this to you, the benches were just outrageously different because they bring on Callum Hudson-Odoi, they bring on Timo Werner, and then they also bring on Tammy Abraham. And you look at our bench, and you're talking about it. Who do we have? Yeah. Kamara, Cabano, they come on, and Josh Onuma comes on. Look at the difference.
Yeah.
And, you know, and ultimately, like you said, if you look at what Callum Hudson-Odoi offered them, you know, and again, I listened to a bunch of Chelsea podcasts screaming for Callum Hudson-Odoi to start. And I'm thinking, why didn't he start Callum Hudson-Odoi? Yeah. But honestly, it's what they had on the bench where the game changes. But ultimately, they wore us down, Emilio, and they created the opportunity and they got it. And yes, potentially on the goal, you can argue that Areola could have done better. But as we keep saying, that it was coming, and then he makes the substitution. So that's why I feel it's fair to talk about this.
And I think let's be also let's Loftus Cheek. I know obviously he was not eligible to play.
He was a loss in this.
We missed him. We missed his presence.
That's a good point.
His quality on, you know, again, people are saying, well, actually, he's not offering much. I, you know, the last couple of games, he's starting to get into his stride at the club. Hopefully, he'll pick, you know, he'll be playing against Man United on Wednesday night. But he offers that more physical strength, composure at times. Today, Chelsea get pressing and pressing and pressing right from the off. 11 against 11 and 11 against 10. And to be honest, our passing was subdued at times because Chelsea played a bit like Brighton did.
A little bit.
And we struggled against Brighton. And I said on Wednesday, we struggled against teams that press us. Chelsea did their homework well.
And they changed their formation up to Emilio.
Yeah. So
give Lampard credit for this.
Don't like Frank Lampard, you know, for the amount of times he kisses his badge when he scored at the Hammersmith end. But he got his tactics right today. He saw the Fulham weaknesses and in the absence of Loftus-Cheek in the team. And no Kearney as well. So I thought Lampard got his tactics right today. And we struggled other than those five minute spells here and there with where he had a bit of offensive opportunities. But otherwise, we defended well, but we still come away pointless. That's the bottom line.
Okay. And I just put up this graphic. Did we miss Ruben Loftus-Cheek? Emilio seems to think so. But again, there are other players that were out as well, like we mentioned, Kearney, Mitro, and Molina. But again, when you look at the bench, and yes, Chris, I'm going to share this because Chris has put this, our friend Chris. Of course, the benches are different. They are Chelsea. Yes, but that doesn't mean that we can't have a better bench.
That's
my point, and that's Emilio's point, right, Emilio?
Yeah. We're not comparing Chelsea to Fulham, Chris. Let's not be facetious here. As far as I'm concerned, we have no game changers on that bench today. And that's the thing. It was 11 against 11. You know, who could we have called upon to actually come in and really get at Chelsea and have that bit of quality? It's an average bench. And to me, I've seen some comments. Is it a championship bench? Arguably speaking, yes.
As our friend Tony Gold, I said pregame the benches would be the difference. Pure bench, seriously lacking.
Yeah. But when you've got, you know, the likes of, you know, if Loftus-Cheek was playing today, if Kearney was fit, if Mitrovic was fit, if Lamina was recovered from COVID, there's four players already there. Plus some more. So,
and those are significant players, Emilio.
Exactly. You know, so we're doing the right things. So Tony Khan, Tony Khan's done a bloody good job with some.
We know what they need.
We know what they need. He knows what we need.
He knows too.
And
the bigger thing he knows.
Yeah. Paperwork takes a long time to sort out. So let's be very clear. But at the end of the day, it's Chelsea we played. You know, there's a lot of positives to take, but it's still. A 1-0 defeat.
Okay, very good. All right, coming up next, I'm going to get Emilio's biggest takeaway from the match. And yes, I want to get Emilio's man of the match. So feel free, if you're watching live, to share who you thought was Fulham's man of the match. Okay, Emilio, right back to you as we're doing our full-time initial reaction show. What is the biggest takeaway you come from this match, coming out of it? Again, we've talked a good amount. There are a lot of different ways you can go on this. What's your biggest takeaway?
I think it's the thing we've been saying last few weeks. We're competitive. We're hard to break down. We're playing as a unit. The same themes, but you know, but you know, that doesn't translate into victories. So there's only so many times we can keep saying, yes, they defended well. They defended admirably, fought well, fought as a team. But you know, ultimately, we need wins now. But don't judge us not beating the likes of Chelsea, Tottenham, and Man United those games against Brighton and West Brom in 2 weeks' time, if we lose those games, then we could take everything back we've been saying. But those are the two games we need to be focusing on, getting our players recovered. Bobby Reid, obviously, is suspended against Man United. I'd rather he's suspended against Man U than against Brighton. So that's that's a positive for me. If you're going to get a yellow card, get it against a team that you're expected to lose against. But it's the same thing. It's just a bravery. The team fought hard. They were very brave. I'm proud of them. But, you know, I want to start seeing the team winning some games. And, you know, let's get some new signings in pretty damn quick.
Okay, I want to go back to this because I actually prepared for this. So Bobby Decker and Dover Reid being out of the Manchester United match, you actually think that's a positive?
I'd rather he gets his fifth yellow card not playing against Man U than not playing against Brighton.
Okay, fair enough.
So maybe, and I don't agree with sometimes, you know, there's all these old theories that sometimes you intentionally get a yellow card so that you don't play in a more tougher match. Because, you know, we're not expecting to beat Man United on Wednesday night. They're in good form. But, you know, there's another gap, though. We've got to find a gap to fill there with him being out. Hopefully, Loftus-Cheek will be fit and maybe Mitrovic might be in contention on Wednesday night.
Right. And that's my hope, my friend, because, you know, it's funny. Mm. I don't think Fulham should fear anyone. And I thought that, again, they didn't look out of place against Chelsea. As you said, Emilio, Chelsea were the better side. And going into it, if you look at how much money you spent, they should be the better side. Okay, let's be honest there. But they didn't look out of place. They had a game plan, and I thought they really played well within themselves and, like, had those spurts late in the first half. Mm-hmm. But, again, going back to what you said, and we've already talked about, I think that, you know, Scott Parker might not have been ready for the changes that Frank Lampard gave him, meaning that they changed the formation. I was thinking they were going to play 4-3-3. They didn't do that. And Kovacic, I guess, played a little bit of a different role and changed things up. And that might have taken them a little bit to adjust, but they eventually did. But my biggest takeaway from this goes back to, I've been saying this over and over, Emilio. When you look at this, when it's halftime and I'm thinking to myself, and I even was texting, they could now lose 3-0. They could lose 4-0.
Yeah.
And when you lose only to a goal to a team like Chelsea, even though they're not at top form, I think that shows you something, because I saw a team playing together. They did not look out of place against a team that has spent so much money. They looked like they were fighting for each other, fighting for Fulham, fighting for the manager. And it took a lot for them to get that goal. I'm talking about Chelsea. Yeah. So my biggest takeaway is that they have solidified even further that they can fight through adversity. It eventually got to them, but they were fighting through it throughout that second half. And I think it brings the team together, and you can look back at that when you are in another situation when you're down a man. So I think that there are positives to take out of it. I see a team continuing to fight for each other. That's my positive. That's my biggest takeaway.
Yeah, the thing that worries for me is, you know, the team start to suss us out, you know, about if you start to press us, we struggle. You know, Brighton did that very effectively a month ago. Chelsea did that today, but Liverpool didn't do that to us, nor did Tottenham. And look, we came away with, you know, positive results from those games, and similar with Leicester City. So I just worry about how we can, what's our plan B when you've got the likes of Brighton and maybe West Brom. West Brom are obviously on a high after their very good victory today. So we've got to find a way of actually dealing with teams that press us, don't give us a space. You know, we like to pass the ball, you know, very quickly, patient, you know, sometimes patient, sometimes quickly. It's the way of Scott Parker's style of football, but we struggle when those teams don't give us no room and no space.
Yep, we've talked about this.
Yeah, we've talked about this. So that's a worry for me. It's how do we adjust and have a different style of play at times? Because otherwise, where are goals going to come from? Even today, 11 against 11, Chelsea gave us no space. Lookman, there always seemed to be two men around him.
There was. They had a very good game plan for us.
Yeah, you know, so as much as I hate to say it, you know, well done, Chelsea, for getting your tactics right. But
they got them right.
Yeah. At the end of the day, we've got to find six wins this season.
And I think they're there for them, Emilio. I do think that they're there.
And a few away from home.
Right.
And pick up draws here and there. And we might be okay, but it's the table doesn't lie, people keep saying. So
table doesn't lie.
Yeah. So at the end of the day, I'm not going to be critical of the team. The team, you know, they're doing as well as they can with the players that they've got. We're more harder to beat. we're fighting and competing against big teams, we've got to start beating the teams around us. Those games are coming up in 2 weeks' time.
Okay. And I just want to share one more thing, Amelia.
I was looking at Steve. Six wins is 18 points, Steve. That's 30 points on the clock.
Yep.
Plus we'll have a few draws there. Minimum six.
Okay.
There's enough there to get those six.
All right. I just wanted to share this before we go to man of the match, because this goes back to some of the takeaways. I'm going to share some more takeaways from some of the supporters. I was listening to Graham Lussell after the match. He was doing the commentating for NBC Sports, and this is what he said. He was asked, can Fulham stay in this division? And he says they can, but right now they're lacking goals. And this goes back to what you're saying. His concern is, as you've said, Amelia, so I want to just emphasize this, the lack of goals, the lack of people that can score goals. You know, he mentioned Mitro, but right now they don't have someone that they can count on to score goals. But everyone down at the bottom has the same problem. But that's where it comes down to. And I'm just going to share some more comments. When we talk about biggest takeaway, lack of strikers, simple. Yeah. Our friend Steve Lydiard obviously has to chime in on this one. No strikers. We have to share that. But on a positive, and I want to share this from our friend Chris down in Spain, takeaway, the defense. Yeah. And Chris, I agree with you on that. I totally agree with you.
I think but the other thing as well, with or without strikers, the final ball is not good enough at times. So, Caballero, how much service did he get today? He had one chance. Okay, he didn't take it. But this goes back to the same old thing. Sometimes our final ball is very, very weak. Yep. Predictable at times, and maybe we're not composed enough. So these are other factors which are critical as well. Just the fact we haven't got a striker to bury chances, we're not creating enough clear cut chances with or without a striker. That's the fundamental problem as well.
I totally agree with that, Emilio. And again, this is from our friend. How our defense has improved significantly. That goes along with Chris, and I agree with that. Okay, let's end our full time show. What do you give the man of the match to?
I think you've got to argue, I think Anderson, Adebayo. I thought Harrison Reed worked hard today. I was a little bit critical of him on Wednesday night against Tottenham. I thought he didn't have a particularly good game, but I thought he worked quite well. I thought he worked hard. He looked strong, winning tackles, huffing and puffing as you'd expect from him. I thought Harrison Reed did a good job, tidy job today.
Yep.
I think either him, I think Anguissa didn't look out of place again in that central midfield, and Anderson Adebayo, I thought, had both very good games. So, to be honest, difficult to single out anybody. I don't think anyone stood out per se. So, I think there is a man of match, but if I was to make one, I'd probably say Harrison Reed. He looked quite solid.
Okay, very good. And I'm going to share some of these comments because they kind of go along with what you just said. This is my friend Chris, man of the match, the second half, falling back five for repelling the Chelsea attack until Mount's goal.
Yeah.
Chris, I completely agree with you. Steve Lydiard chimes in. Areola. And here's our friend Chris in Spain. I can't name a man of the match. The defense.
Same like me. Yeah, exactly. It's difficult to signal anyone
just
else.
Just like you. You said that too. We've got Tete. I'm going to share this one as well. Tosin and Reeve. And another Tete from John Farrell. So we are talking about the defense, Emilio. And a very difficult time to really deal with a team like Chelsea for, like you said, 50 minutes plus, because we still have stoppage time as well. So I thought they did their job well. And yes, they gave up the goal, but I think there's a lot to build on. But as everyone's saying, you can look at the warts. And the warts are, Emilio, that they need someone to put the ball in the back of the net. That's number one. But like you also said, they also need a little bit more creativity in the final third to set that up.
Yeah, we need more game changers as well off the bench. So again, the Laminas, Mitrovic's, Kearney's, if these guys are fit, are knocking on the door, then that I'd have less concern. But to be honest, I was more positive before I saw the lineup than when I did see the lineup. So I was worried about that bench, and we said that before the game started as well, didn't we? So.
Okay, very good. All right, Emilio, before we go, any final thoughts?
It's a defeat, another defeat. Next week's fixtures are going to potentially put more pressure. So We're not expecting much from the Man United game. So I'm not sure who the other teams are playing on Wednesday night next week. So
I don't know.
Again, we can only do our own job, beat the teams around us. But the games are piling up thick. And that's my worry. The games are coming in thick and fast, as they are for everybody, admittedly. So it's not just to be clear. But, you know, we've got two games a week. Every team's got two games a week. So it's all about depth of squad and who stays injury-free the most. That will be that will drive whether we can stay in this division or not. If we have more injuries and having to have a makeshift squad, then we could be in trouble. But it's not over yet. So let's not be that too downbeat.
It's far from over. In fact, I'm going to continue to say that Fulham are going to stay in this division. I truly believe that. I believe in this team. Yeah. I see the difference from two seasons ago. I see a real team here fighting for themselves, fighting for the manager, fighting for Fulham, fighting for us as supporters. I see that. And not that two seasons ago they weren't fighting for all that, but they did not play together as a team. It was a bunch of individuals. This team is really playing together as a unit. And that, to me, is the difference. That's why I believe in them.
Yeah. When the last time we scored two goals, though, simple as what we said. It's Leicester City away, I think it was, the last time we scored two goals.
I think you're right.
You know, it's the same problems, right? Yeah. So, there's the same positives we reflect on week on week, but we keep reiterating the same problems. We just have to wait for the owners to make some signings pretty quickly to give us the best opportunity to survive.
Well, I don't think Tony Khan needs to watch any more matches to know this. I think he knows what we need. Now it's on him and his staff to bring in the player or players that Fulham need.
What's he saying, Steve? Where do we find 20, 30 goals? To be honest, I think we're going to need two strikers, I'll be honest with you.
Okay.
I've said it. I don't know who. We've got to get someone who's going to suit Scott Parker's way of football. That's going to be a challenge.
Yeah, that's also key.
But I'm going to put it out there. And again, it's go and get someone like Troy Deeney. I know I keep banging on about it, but Troy Deeney can play at this level. He scores from penalties. He scores from open play and he assists. And he's a strong bloke. Yes, he might be the early 30s. That's a sort of temporary solution that we need, as well as getting somebody who's maybe...
Chelsea just played Olivier Giroud at 34.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so that's the sort of player we need, who can give defenses problems and can score at this level. He's proven he can score at this level.
I don't want Glenn Murray, Steve. Sorry, I don't want Glenn Murray. I see that.
I'll go and play, and Murray's going to sign.
All right. Well, good stuff. All right, Emilio, let's wrap this up. We will have a post-match show on Sunday, but we are done with our full-time show. For Emilio Dinello, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you, as always, for watching and listening to Cottage Talk.
It's the 90th minute, and all to play for at the end of the match. All your mates are around. You've got your McDonald's share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. Are you in? I know I'm in. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee, and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.